This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Alayhi salatu wa salam.
إلهنا أنت مقصودنا ورضاك مطلوبنا أعطنا محبتك ومعرفتك ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. أما بعد, let us respect the presence, let us together raise our hand and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive both our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our progeny and descendants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our teachers, scholars and ulama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all Muslimin and Muslimat wherever they are. For those who have illness and sickness, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them good health and strength. For those who have financial problems, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase their rizq and sustain us. For those who have family problems, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant harmony and bless their family life, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from any tribulation, disasters, turmoil, fitnah, and bala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make possible for us in every instant to visit Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose us among the people constantly in the presence of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the shafa'ah, the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the blessing and barakah of Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dear respected brothers and sisters, tonight we are very blessed in this blessed gathering, in the blessed house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah, together with us, he's no stranger with us. He's, mashallah, his Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim from Langford Islamic College. We greet you in bahdan wa sahlan wa marhaban bihudurikum. And on behalf of Masjid Ar-Rukun committee members, we are very, very honored with the presence of Sheikh Yahya. Tashaffa bihudurikum, yahayakullah, shahabah. And respected brothers and sisters, just an announcement for the sisters at the back. The toilet for in the mosque is unavailable at the moment. So anyone want to go to the toilet, they were available at multi-purpose hall at the back. That okay, the toilet for 3 minutes available for tonight. And I apologize for inconveniences. As well, brothers and sisters, tonight we were listening to the talk by Sheikh Yahya about tour of Jannah. Can anyone show me a hand that whoever entered Jannah before? Actually, no one entered Jannah before. Inshallah, we will listen to the advice from Sheikh about tour to Jannah, that the eyes will never ever see, the ears will never ever hear about Jannah. The imagination of us is beyond, our imagination won't be able to imagine Jannah. Inshallah, we listen to Sheikh advice about Jannah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq, inshallah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء, واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام, إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify with firmness and conviction that none is worthy of worship but God, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger, صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. It's with great pleasure that I find myself, alhamdulillah, here with my brothers and sisters in Rockingham. And subhanAllah, you are the forgotten part of Perth. Actually, you're not part of Perth. That's the problem. I need a visa to get here. I have to give my passport. It's almost like going to Hijrah. You know, alhamdulillah. But do forgive us for that, myself and on behalf of others who usually visit you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to being more regular and taking our responsibilities a little bit more seriously. So on behalf of them, in particular myself, I ask you for your forgiveness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless your community and to bless the efforts that are put through by the board and everyone who comes and visits the masjid regularly, those who contribute to it through their dua, those who contribute to it financially, those who contribute to it by cleaning it, those who contribute to it by fixing something in it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give everyone their ajr more than they would give themselves. Allahumma amin. Today, the topic, jazakumullah khair, to our brothers and our elders who've invited me, it was chosen for me, a tour of Jannah. And you know, subhanAllah, I'm a tour guide. Like, I travel, alhamdulillah, a lot. Maybe 3 weeks ago, I can't even remember, wallahi, it goes by very quickly. 3 weeks ago, I was in Uzbekistan. And I did what was called a hadith tour. And the hadith tour, for those of you who follow me online, you would have seen on my Facebook or Twitter or whatever, we went to visit the places that some of the great ulama, the great scholars of Islam, originated from. In particular, Bukhara, which is where Al-Imam Bukhari is from, right? Al-Imam al-Bukhari and others. And it was a wonderful, wonderful trip. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return us there and to other places where we can find benefit in connecting our heritage. The concept of it is heritage tours. So it is, you know, subhanAllah, many of us, we go to have fun and we travel to many places. So it's very easy for you to say, hey, I'm going to go to KL. I'm going to go to Bali. I'm going to go to Kuta Beach. And for the same price, you can go and see something that nobody in the world gets to see. You can see the Silk Road where Genghis Khan came and conquered and lived. And you can see where the Imams, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, the city of Tirmidh, Al-Imam Muslim from Nishapur. You can see these marvelous places that there are still buildings in it that are over 1,000 years old. Imagine you stand in a mihrab. You know, mashallah, may Allah make this mihrab full of barakah. But I stood at a mihrab, I led the prayer of those in my group at a mihrab that had in it 15 kilos of gold. I want you to think about that. Like when they built for generations. The walls were decorated, the dome, the ceiling had the value of 15 kilograms of gold. And it was meant that when you look up at the dome, the color was blue. It's gold, it's golden, but it's blue. There's this blue ceramic and beauty. And it was meant that when you look up, it was to remind you of Jannah. That as much beauty as you can have in the dunya, there's nothing like Jannah. So I felt the topic was appropriate, jazakallah khair, a tour of Jannah. Most of you, when you kind of think of the topic, you assume I'm just going to describe to you Jannah, which we will. Don't panic. But first we have to get there. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ makes it conditional. I want you to understand principles first. Most of the time when people teach, especially in our current kind of climate today, most people teach the nice things. They make you feel good. They get you emotional. Inshallah, you get emotional. But you must also develop usul, principles, values, underpinning messages that are to guide you in life, maxims of life. And our deen is built from these usul. You know, usul like قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. It's a verse from the Quran, but it's an asl. It's a principle of life. Say to them, He is Allah, the one, the only one like Himself. He's Allahu Ahad, not Wahid. Wahid means He's one, but there can be another one, another one, another one. Ahad is one who's the only one of that one. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ Principle. One of the principles of our faith is that I and you cannot say who has the right to enter Jannah. I want you to think about this. You might have a neighbor outside the masjid who lives a life that you are unpleased with. You're not happy with it. You say, SubhanAllah. Drinking and alcohol, and they're with their family, they separate from them, and drug addiction, and domestic abuse, and violence, and eating this, and drinking this, and zina, and adultery, and. And you might look and say, no, these people are not fit for Jannah. That immediately, between you and Allah, is a ma'asiyah, sin. It's a breakage of your belief in what Allah's rahmah entails. In the same way you might see a brother praying with us now. MashaAllah, devout. In his salah he cries. Sujood and ruku' and charity. And you say, SubhanAllah, this brother, MashaAllah, this one, this sister, Jannah. Definitely in Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ says, no, hold on a second. Who are you to make this declaration? I want you to begin with a very important hadith. It's a hadith we don't hear enough of. It's a hadith narrated by Imam Abu Huraira, collected by Imam al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Muttafaqun alayh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, كَانَ فِي مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكَ In the people who lived before your time, meaning in our cousins of faith, the Jews and the Christians. The Prophet ﷺ, part of the way that he would teach was that he would tell you about the nations before us. And he would say, in those who lived before you, those who believed before you, those who had books before you, those who came to Allah and submitted before you, كَانَ فِي مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ رَجُلًا There were two men. تَآخَى فِي اللَّهِ They became like brothers to each other. They're not blood brothers. But they had a love for each other. It's as if it's its brother. أحدهم, one of them, صالح, is a good man. صالح, he's righteous. والآخر, his best friend, the best friend, مقصر, is behind him. It's a polite way of saying sinner. Not a صالح, مقصر, behind. فَكَانَ الصَّالِحُ يَقُولُ لِأَخِيهِ The good one would say to his friend, أَقْصِرْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ لَكَ أَبَدًا وَلَا يُدْخِلَكَ الْجَنَّةِ My friend, you know I love you. You know I care for you. Stop doing what you're doing. Don't live this way. Don't act this way. If you continue this way, Allah will never forgive you. You'll never enter Jannah. His friend, when he would hear this, he would say, خَلِّي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ رَبِّي Leave me to Allah. Why are you... مَا جَعَلَكَ عَلَيَّ وَكِيلٌ He didn't make you my security guard. SubhanAllah. You know, sometimes we kind of try to police everyone. Hey, what are you doing here? Why are you wearing this? Why are you eating this? Why are you doing this? Why are you... مَا جَعَلَكَ عَلَيَّ وَكِيلٌ He didn't make you... The one in charge of everything in my life. I know Allah. I know Allah. فَمَاتَ The Prophet ﷺ says, eventually they both die. فَبَعَثَهُمُ اللَّهُ When Allah will bring them up from their grave, He will bring them together. And subhanAllah, this is a sunnah of Allah, that those who loved each other in the dunya will be gathered in the day of judgment together, and inshaAllah will be in Jannah together. They both came out of their grave, died on different days in different places, but Allah will bring them together. Stand in front of them. And Allah will question them. Who is he going to question? The salih, the righteous one. قَالَ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِهَذَا. Did you used to say to your friend, أَنِّي لَا أَغْفِرُ لَهُ, that I will never forgive him? وَأَنِّي لَا أُدْخِلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, and that he has no hope of entering Jannah? أَقَدْ مَلَّكْتَكَ أَمْرِي. Did I give my power to you? SubhanAllah, look at the word of Allah. Did I give you my power to make this decision? أَوْ أُوتِيتَ عِلْمًا مِنْ عِنْدِي. Or did I give you knowledge that nobody knows except you? Did I give you the list of people of Jannah and the list of people of Jahannam? Did I give you the decision? Did I give you the knowledge? فَشْهَدْ, witness today, SubhanAllah, أَنِّي غَفَرْتُ لَهُ, I forgive him everything, SubhanAllah. وَأَنَّ لَكَ النَّارِ, but for you, first you must be purged in punishment. Who's the one who's punished? The righteous. Who's the one who's forgiven? The sinner. I want you to think about this hadith. You have no hope in Jannah, he would say. أَخَدْ مَلَّكْ. Did I give my power of judgment to you? Did I give my knowledge to you? And therefore it becomes a very important principle that I wanted to precede our discussion tonight. Jannah is not in my hand. Wallahi, if I knew I was in Jannah, wallahi, if you knew you were in Jannah, لَسَعِدْ, you would be happy. But you don't. Even those who the Prophet looked them in the face and said, you are from the people of Jannah, were worried. Umar radiallahu anhu arda is from Al-Ashr. He's one of the 10 people who the Prophet face to face said, you are from the people of Jannah. You know what Umar used to say radiallahu anhu? Umar radiallahu anhu would come to Hudhaifa ibn al-Yaman. Hudhaifa was the one who the Prophet gave the secrets. Whenever the Prophet had a secret, the most trustworthy that he would trust was Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu arda. He would say to him, Ya Hudhaifa, here are the names of the hypocrites. And after the Prophet's death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Hudhaifa did not attend the janazah of one of the people of the Sahaba, nobody from the major Sahaba would pray behind him. Because maybe he was on the list that the Prophet gave to Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu would come to him and say, Ya Hudhaifa, أنشدك الله. I ask you by Allah. أقد سماني لك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Did the Prophet use my name with you? Umar, the Farooq, the one who Shaitan would walk on a different road if he's walking on this road. He would say to her that, did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mention me to you? When Umar رضي الله عنه was in his final moments of life, his son sat behind him and put his head in his lap. He sat on the ground and he put his head in his lap. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Abd al-Rahman, da' ra'si ala al-turab. My son, put my head on the floor, on the dust. La'alla Allah yanzuru ilayya bi rahmati. Perhaps if Allah sees me on the ground like this, he will show me mercy. Allahu Akbar. The people of Jannah are not the ones who claim it. And they're not the ones who deny it. It's a very important principle. The people of Jannah, in their mind, they don't say, I'm its people. Me, I'm there, definitely. The people of Jannah are not the ones who look at others and say, you never will go there. It's an important principle. As we begin searching for the doorways of Jannah. So to begin our tour of Jannah, let's list some of the things mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ and mentioned by Allah in the Quran that are prerequisites for us to enter Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ خَالِصًا مُخْلِصًا. The one who says, La ilaha illallah, having given up hope in everything other than God. Wajabat lahu al-jannah. Jannah is for that man, for that woman. The one whose life is lived where they understand that there is greater than them. There's more to me than mine. SubhanAllah, today one of the major things our community faces as Muslims, not just here in Perth, in Australia, but all over the world, is as described by the Prophet ﷺ, يُصْبِحُ الْمَرْءِ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. You will find that there will come a time where a person, when they wake up in the morning, they have belief. By the time night time comes, they've left faith. And then they go to sleep in a state where they are questioning Allah, and then they wake up and they are a believer again. They've renewed their faith again. It's a very dangerous time, where belief is something that people enter and exit from, not knowing the ramifications of Tawheed, of what it means to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it stems because we are unfamiliar with basics. And therefore when the Prophet ﷺ speaks about Jannah, he always speaks about basics. A man comes to him and he says, O Messenger of Allah, in إِذَا شَهِدْ, if I witness أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّكَ رَسُولُهُ, if I believe in you as being the Messenger of God, and I believe in God, and I pray the five prayers, and I fast the month of Ramadan, and I give my charity if I can, if I'm wealthy enough that I give that charity, and I attempt to make the Hajj if I'm able, أَأَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ, will I enter Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, in sadaq. Yes, if you do it. It's attainable. Jannah is conditional. It's not just the statement of La ilaha illallah, I believe in God. Outside the door, if our neighbor hears us saying La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, and he likes the rhythm, and he begins to say La ilaha illallah, Muslim? Yeah. Islam is not a nutq. The great imams would say Laysa al-imanu bit-tamanni wala bit-tahalli walakinnahuma waqara fil qalb wa saddaqahu al-amal. Iman isn't just something you wish for and you say, oh, I wish I was a better Muslim. I wish I was a better person. I wish I was a kinder husband, a better father, a nicer wife, a more honest employer, a better community member. It's not something you wish for to become a good person. It is what's in your heart that shows in your actions. وَصَدَّقَتْهُ الْأَعْمَالِ, your amal shows صدق of what's in your heart. فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, learn of what لا إله إلا الله entails. It is, as the Prophet ﷺ said, مفتاح الجنة, the key to Jannah. It unlocks Jannah. Believing that there is something greater than you is one of the prerequisites of you and I having admission to Jannah. And that is something that is of great consequence. It's not just something that's a statement that is said, but it's actions that are verified and processes that are entailed. One of the beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and it's narrated by Imam Muslim, a man comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, I want to be in a high level in Jannah. Tell me how I can have a real estate in Jannah. Helps in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, Bashir, good news for the one who does these things. They have a house in Jannah. They have a contract signed that they have real estate waiting for them in paradise. What is it? He said, Sil man qata'ak. Connect the one who cut you off. Wallahi, very difficult. The one who turns away from you, you go after them. Wallahi, very difficult. Subdue your ego. Somebody who's not nice to you, be nice to them. Even though they're not worthy of it. Even though you say to yourself, Wallahi, he wouldn't do for me half of what I do for him. You're not doing it for him, you're doing it for who? Allah. Who's going to give you what? Jannah. Sul man qata, the one who disbands from you. Connect them. Every one of us in this room, إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, except whom Allah has shown mercy, there's someone in our life who we have a problem with. It could be family, it could be friend, it could be an old friend. You might say, oh, it's an old friend. you've forgotten that they're a friend. It could be a Muslim, it could be a non. There's somebody who you have a problem with. And if you want to step towards Jannah, a step towards it, gaining real estate, صل من قطعك. Number one. Number two, وعفو عن من ظلمك. The one who made ظلم against you, forgive them. Wallahi, it's tough. How many people hold in their heart a grudge? But she said, I know. But he did. Wallahi, brother Yahya, it's not my fault, it's their fault. I can prove it to you. Wallahi, I don't want you to prove it to me. No need. It's not about who's right or wrong. Wa'afu, look at the word the Prophet uses. He doesn't say, waghfir, forgive. La, afu. Afu means it's as if it never happened. It's like you wipe it out like it didn't exist. It's the same reason that the dua of Laylatul Qadr, you know, when you're praying on the most beautiful night of the year, خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, that night its value is greater than 1,000 months. What's the dua? Allahumma innaka, Allahu Akbar, afu. Allah wants you to be afu. The Prophet ﷺ uses that word. Allahumma innaka afu, tuhibbul af. Oh Allah, you are the afu. You're the source of afu. Meaning that when I have afu, it's because you have afu. I'm doing it because you, O Allah, your generosity upon me is opening my heart to others. It's a very important thing. How do you know if Laylatul Qadr is accepted from you? It's that you've forgiven other people. Wallahi, the Imam al-Nawawi, he makes it very clear. If you want to know if you witness Laylatul Qadr, it's in Laylatul Qadr. How many people did you forgive? That's it. Allahumma innaka afu tuhibbu al-afu. You love those who wipe out, whose sins are forgiven, wiped out. You love to do it for us because we want to do it for others. What you notice sometimes, may Allah forgive us, me and you. Laylatul Qadr, ya Allah, ya afu. The Imam is making khatm al-Quran. Allahumma, ya Allah, forgive me. Ya Allah, forgive my parents. Then you see that brother who borrowed money from you, didn't pay it yet. And he comes to you and he says, Assalamu alaikum, ya akhi, and you turn your face. Ya Allah, forgive me, ya Allah, this side. And this one, I'm not going to look over him. I don't want to see him. Now, you want Jannah? Jannah. Let me give you an example. Any of you know the name of the Sahabi Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu? Any of you hear this name? It's a very strange name. Now, you know Abu Huraira, Abu Bakr. Abu Dahdah is one of those names. Abu Dahdah is from Medina radiallahu anhu arda. He's from the Ansar. And Abu Dahdah was one of the wealthiest men in Medina. Very rich man. He had one garden, one estate that had 600 nakhla, 600 date trees. Allahu Akbar. Millionaire, in their standard, multi-millionaire. And he's sitting in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ as we're sitting. And as he's sitting, a young man enters, an orphan. His father, 2-3 weeks earlier, had just passed away. And he comes into the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ crying. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an orphan. He feels the pain. وَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا. Pay attention to them. The orphan sits with the Prophet ﷺ and begins to weep. And he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father, when he passed away, he left my mother and he left so many children for me to look after, my brothers and sisters. And the only thing he left was a few sheep that now when I ask my neighbor, can I build a fence to block them from going out into the desert? He refuses to let me cut down the tree that is blocking my ability to build the fence. There's a small jiz', not even a nakhla yet, a small little tree, not even bloom, doesn't have fruit yet, no dates on it.
I just want to put the fence through that area so that the sheep don't run. We're losing our livelihood, O Messenger of Allah. And I asked him to sell it to me. He refused. I asked him to give it to me, sadaqah. He refused. I asked to pay 10 times its amount. He refused. O Messenger of Allah, can you speak to him? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet invites this man. He comes very angry, very upset. He's come to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine the Messenger of Allah says, summons you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bi'ahu iyyaha, sell him the tree. Look at him, he's a yatim. He says, la ya Rasulallah wa qad rafa'ani ilayk. Never will I sell it to him, O Messenger of Allah. How dare he bring me like a criminal in front of me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at how pride, look at how the heart. So the Prophet ﷺ said, تَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْهِ اعْطِي إِيَّهِ. Maybe you want to be charitable. Give it to him. He said, لا يا رسول الله. Never, O Messenger. Then the Prophet says, صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ بِعْهُ إِيَّهِ. Okay, sell it to him. وَلَكَ نَخْلَةً فِي الْجَنَّةِ. نَخْلَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Give it to him. And I give you assurance, you will have a tree in Jannah. The man says, O Messenger of Allah, if you are not ordering me, I'm not going to give it to him for anything in this world. Abu Dahdah is sitting, has nothing to do with this problem. It's not his tree, no. The man leaves, and the boy continues to sit, and the Prophet consoles him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Dahdah catches that man. And he says to him, أتدري من أنا? Do you know me? He said, yes, I know you. Do you know what I own? Do you know my garden? He said, yes. He said, أعطيك ما أملك لهذه النخلة. I give you everything I own for that tree. He didn't go home to speak with the wife yet. Allahu Akbar. My wife is in the audience panicking. What is this? The man says, you sure? One tree? It doesn't have fruit? He says, no, give me this tree. You have my 600 trees. He says, خُذْهَا فَبِئْسَهَا بِهِمْ فَهَذَا الْجِزَى الَّذِي رُفِعْتُ مِنْ أَجْلِهُ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Take this evil tree that brought me as a criminal in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's still thinking of himself. And he takes it. And Abu Dahdah radiallahu anhu arda, he runs to the young boy and he says to him, the tree is now yours, it's mine, and now it's yours. Cut it, do whatever you want with it, secure your home and your family and whatever is needed, don't worry about it. And he runs to his wife. Abu Dahdah goes home to his farm and stands at the gate of it, doesn't enter it. It's not his property anymore. And he says, Ya Umma Dahdah, khruji minha. Umma Dahdah, get your belongings, come out. فَقَالَتْ لِمَا? قَالَ بِعْنَاهَا. I sold it. لِمَن? Who? When? Where? How? For how much? لِمَن? To who? بِعْتُهَا لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ. I sold it to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, رَبِحَ الْبَيَّ يَا أَبَا الدَّحْدَاحِ. What a good deal you've struck. To Allah, I have no fear. Her son, al-Dahdah, is about to eat one of the dates. She takes it from his mouth and she puts it on the ground and she says, قَدْ بِعْنَاهَا لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ. And she carries him and they leave their estate. Three months later is the Battle of Uhud. And Abu Dahdah is one of the people, when you visit Uhud, the Shuhada, who is buried near Hamza radiallahu anhu Allah. And when the battle had ended in the night, in the dark, the Sahaba were collecting the bodies for burial because they were worried the enemy is surrounding. And they sent to the Prophet ﷺ, everybody's found. He said, no, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no. There's one man missing. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we can't find anybody else. He said, no, there's one man missing. And the Prophet went out himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and picked up Abu Dahdah, held him, and carried him, and says to him, رابح البيع يا أبو الدحداء. What a beautiful trade and business you made, Abu Dahdah. Now I want you to think about this. Abu Dahdah's greatest deed was not that he stood in the battle of Uhud and he was shaheed. La. What is the deed that the Prophet mentions to him? How beautiful was your trade. كَمْ مِنْ عِطْقٍ رَبَعْ يَا أَبَا الدَّحْدَحِ. Look at your tree, how heavy it is in Jannah now, يَا أَبَا الدَّحْدَحِ. The Prophet can see the tree in Jannah that was promised to that other man. Abu Dahdah has taken claim of it. What a good deed you have done, يَا أَبَا الدَّحْدَحِ. The ulama, when they speak of this hadith, they say, Abu Dahdah's greatest achievement was that he cared for somebody else. And the greatest failure was of that man who cared for the dunya at the expense of whom? Somebody else. وَعَفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ. Forgive the one who wronged you. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Look to what you have produced for tomorrow. Now I'm not saying to you, brother, give your house, your car, your estate to everyone. Somebody comes and says, oh, here, take my house. La. Your wife will kill you. And then she'll come after me. La. But what I say to you is put effort in other people's lives. If Allah blessed you in wealth, don't keep it just for yourself. If Allah blessed you with knowledge, just say you're a mathematician, mashallah. We have mashallah brothers who are engineers. And you have young Muslim students in the next 2-3 weeks, they have their final exams, calculus, algebra, math specialist. You have a masjid here. Put a small notice. Say, brothers, I'm an engineer. I can help you with your math. Free tutoring. Come, I will be here between Maghrib and Isha every day for the next 3 weeks, getting you ready for your exam. Give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 3 weeks of your life. Maghrib till Isha. MashaAllah, Allah bless you with tajweed. Come, Saturday, Sunday. Say, for adults. I know there's lots of people teaching the children. But we have sometimes this secret within us as Muslim men. We want to learn to be more fluent in the Quran. And I wish there was a brother who would teach me. And I don't have to join other classes. And I don't want to be embarrassed. I want it just to be one brother. Easy. I can't afford $50 an hour or whatever it costs. I don't know how much it costs. Put a notice. I'm willing to do once every 2 weeks. Once a month, ya akhi. Give something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you that you're able to open your home as a foster parent. Now this is one of the bigger needs in our community, and I can tell you as one of the minor leaders in our community here in Perth, there's a lot of children, Muslim and non-Muslim children, who require a foster family. Muslim and non-Muslim. Don't just think, oh, Muslim. Nah. Somebody who their home life, their father, their mother, their grandmother, whoever it is that's looking after them, the government has assured and found that they are not the right people for them. And they need to put them in temporary accommodation. A week, more, less. With a family that is stable, that is kind, that is loving. And alhamdulillah, you have a room, you have a home, you have a place. And you meet the requirements. Open your house, ya akhi. Do something that is of greater benefit to others. You will find a place for yourself in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ then finishes the hadith with the third. He says to the man, صلي والناس نيام. Look after everybody. The one who cut you off, can't connect them. The one who wronged you, forgive them. But don't forget yourself. When others are asleep, make an attempt to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want you to notice that everything in the Quran is dual in that sense. Allah never says to us, do something that is between us and Allah, and to neglect the society that we live in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. Make your salah to me and you, to Allah. But don't forget about the zakah that helps those who live amongst you. You cannot be a person who says, Alhamdulillah, I pray, I fast, I do everything, and to hell with everybody else. You have to give from your time. You have to give from your energy. Even when it's difficult. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصٌ. One of the beautiful hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, when the Sahaba would ask him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadithna anil jannah. O Messenger of Allah, describe to us paradise. Mabina'uha, what are its buildings like? What's it like? And before I continue with this hadith and others like it, I want you to understand that one of the principles of our faith is that whatever Allah or the Prophet described of the next life, it's words that are used, but meanings that are unseen and the reality is only known to them. And therefore sometimes Muslims and non-Muslims, they have this confusion where they read something in the Quran and they say, oh, this means Allah said talhum, fruits that are stacked on one top of each other, bananas. When you read the translation of the Quran, it'll say talh bananas, because that's one of the words for bananas in Arabic. Bananas, mashallah, in Jannah there's bananas. Those Queensland bananas are in Jannah? La ya. Qutufuha daniya, its fruit is hanging near you. You mean this fruit over here that's, The word is similar, the meaning is only known to Allah. And therefore the Sahaba, when they ask, the Prophet speaks in approximation. He says, it's buildings, you want to know of its buildings? لَبِنَةٌ مِنْ ذَهَبْ وَلَبِنَةٌ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ. It's unimaginable to you, you've never seen anything like it. Tell us, Umayyah, if you could imagine anything, imagine something where a brick is gold and a brick is silver. وَمَلَاتُهَا. The cement between it and misk is perfumed musk. وَحَصْبَهُهَا اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْيَقُودُ. Its roadways are paved with emeralds and jewels. Something you can't imagine. But here's what I want you to know. Look at now how the Prophet focuses it. مَنْ يَدْخُلْهَا. The one who's fortunate to enter. يَنْعَمْ وَلَا يَبْأَسْ. They will have comfort and never hardship. وَيَخْلُدْ وَلَا يَمُودْ. They will have an eternality of happiness and never face another death. وَلَا تَبْلَى ثِيَابُهُ وَلَا يَفْنَى شَبَابُهُ. Their clothing and their youthfulness shall not tarnish. And then he focuses them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by saying, هِيَ وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَ رَيْحَانَةٌ تَهْتَزْ. By the Lord of the Kaaba, by the Lord Almighty. If you really want to understand it, it's a fragrant flower that wafts in the wind. What does that mean? It's that flower where everything around it doesn't inspire you or impress you. And it shares its scent everywhere at the distance from it. He describes it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the words of others. Moses, and as Muslims, the most spoken of prophet in the Quran is Musa alayhi salam. You know, and it's a great honor for Musa. The greatest mentioned, most mentioned prophet is Moses and Jesus and Ibrahim. More than the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than the name of his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musa, as is narrated by an Imam Muslim, an authentic hadith, he asks Allah. He says, Ya Rab, ma adina ahlul jannati manzila. Oh Allah, what's the lowest level in Jannah, minimum wage, Centrelink. Yani, last one. Who's, you know what? What's there to expect? Lowest level in Jannah. Allah says, Ya Musa, innaha lirajul. It's going to be given to a person, to a man. يخرج من النار بعد أن قد خرج منها كثير. He will be the last one to exit hellfire. After many before him have exited. Last one. فإذا خرج منها نظر إليها وقال الحمد لله الذي نجاني منك. فلم يعطى أحدا مثل ما أعطيت قط. This man, when he comes out, he will look back at Jahannam and he will say, Alhamdulillah, who has saved me from you. No one has been given anything better than me. He hasn't even seen Jannah. He doesn't know anything about it. Just that he escaped it. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ The one who brushes and misses Jahannam. وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ And enters into a place of contentment. فَقَدْ فَازَ Has attained all success. Allah will say to him, what do you want now? You're out of Jahannam. What do you want? He'll say, Ya Rabb, there's a tree over there. There's going to be a date tree with a little river. It looks nice and peaceful. He say, Ya Rabb, udnuni min hadihi nakhla. Astadillu bi dhillaha wa ashrabu min ma'iha wa akulu min tamriha. Oh Allah, if I can sit under that tree, drink from the water that irrigates it, eat from its fruit and sit under its cool shade, I want nothing else. Abdi, in u'tiitaha fala tas'al an shay'in ba'daha. If I give you this, you're not going to ask for anything more? You say, Ya Rabb, wallahi, if I get this, khalas. That's all I want. فَيَعْطِيهُ اللَّهِ إِيَّاهَ Allah will give him to him. And Allah will make that there's another tree a little bit further away. Bigger. Juicier fruit. Nicer river. And the man will keep looking over there. And he will say, Ya Rabb. Allah will say to him, مَا تُرِيدْ يَا عَبْدِي What do you want, my servant? Now I want you to notice something. And Imam al-Nawawi, he notices something about this hadith. He says in the dunya, Allah doesn't ask us. There's no hadith in the words of the Prophet ﷺ where Allah says to you and I in the dunya, what do you want? Never. It's always you make dua. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, oh Allah, give, give, give. There is no hadith in the akhirah where you ask Allah. It's always Allah asks you. What do you want? هل من مزيد? Is there anything else you can receive? Do you want an increase in something? What more do you need? Allah will say to him, what do you want, Ya Abdi? He'll say, Ya Rabbi, yani, this one over there. أَلَمْ تُعْطِ الْعُهُودِ Didn't you make a promise you would not ask for anything? Say, Ya Rabb, فَأَنَا عَبْدُكَ الْفَقِيرُ I'm your poor servant. And I'll say, go. Until Allah makes a tree near the doors of Jannah. فَيَسْمَعُ نَعِيمَ أَهْلِهَا From outside Jannah, he's going to hear the merriment of the people in paradise. وَيَشِمُّ رِيحَهَا And he will smell its fragrance. And Allah said, what do you want? Oh Allah, I want to enter. Allah will say to him, أُنْظُرْ فِيهَا فَإِمْ رَأَيْتَ مَكَانًا فَهُوَ لَكَ Look inside. If you can find space, I'll give it to you. The man will look. فَيَظُنَّ أَنَّهَا مَلَّا He'll think it's completely full. Complete full occupancy. On the door, no vacancy. فَيَنْكَسَرْ His heart will be broken. And then Allah will say to him, عَبْدِي My servant. Will you be content? أَتَرْضَى Look at Allah's rida. Will you be happy? أَنْ يَكُونَ لَكَ مُلْكُ مَلِكٍ مِّن مُلُوكِ الدُّنْيَا That I give you a kingdom from the kingdoms of those who ruled your world. A kingdom. فَيَقُولُ الْعَبْدُ بَلَى A kingdom? I was under a tree. I was in Jahannam a little while ago. A kingdom? بَلَى Yes. Allah will say to him, لَكَ ذَلِكَ You have one. وَمِثْلَهُ 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 I give you a kingdom again and again and again. Five kingdoms. This hadith is narrated by Abu Huraira. In this hadith, one of the other Sahaba city, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu wa arda, he's listening to Abu Huraira narrate the hadith. And when Abu Huraira says, مِثْلَهُ five times, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri interrupts. And he says, وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ By the Lord of the Kaaba, by Allah Almighty. I heard the Prophet say, لَكَ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ وَعَشْرُ أَمْثَالِ. You have 5 times its amount and I multiply it by 10. 50 kingdoms as minimum wage, center link for a person in Jannah. فَيَقُولُ الْعَبْدُ رَضِيدُ. Oh Allah, I don't want anything more. Allah will increase. لَكَ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ وَعَشْرُ أَمْثَالِ وَلَكَ مَشْتَهَتْ نَفْسُ. And to you is everything you desire. There are people who have the whole world at their disposal today. But not because they want something, they can have it. Not because they want an extra day of life, it will be given. Not because they want a son or a daughter or a friend to be healthy, that they will become better. You can have the kingdom of the world, but there will come a moment where everything fails you. So Allah says to this man, you have the kingdoms of all these people, but I will give you what none of them had. وَلَكَ مَشْتَهَتْ نَفْسُكَ. In this day you will have what you desire. وَلَذَّتْ عَيْنُكَ. And what pleases you. Musa, who is in minimum wage, is not centering. Musa is Nabiullah, Kalimullah. He says, Ya Rabbi, إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا أَدْنَاهَا فَمَا بَلُوا أَعْلَاهَا. Oh Allah, this is down here. What about those up here? Meaning, I don't want to say, what does Musa get? But yani, I know I'm not, alhamdulillah, I'm not minimum wage, inshallah. What about some of us who are a little bit higher? So Allah stops him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stops Musa alayhi wa sallam. And says, Ya Musa, la tas'al. Moses, don't ask about them. فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ غَرَسْتُ خِرَامَتَهُمْ بِيَدَيْهِ. They're the ones whose honor I planted with my own hand. It's planted by me. Nobody knows of it. It's an honor I will give them that none can give them. غَرَسْتُ خِرَامَتَهُمْ بِيَدَيْهِ. فَلَمْ تَرَى عَيْنٍ. No eye has seen it. وَلَمْ تَسْمَعْ أُذُنٍ. No ear has heard it. وَلَمْ يَخْطُرْ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. No human heart, no conscience, no awareness, no collective thought could ever envision it. Don't ask. And therefore it becomes important for us to seek it. وَعْمَلْ لِدَارِ غَدٍ رِضْوَانُ خَازِنُهَا وَالْجَارُ أَحْمَدُ وَالرَّحْمَنُ نَاشِيَ. Work hard for a day where your neighbor will be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not going to come easy. It's going to come with bringing upon yourself the needs of others, the care for others, the love for others. It will come where you stand before Allah humble to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, where your salah is intact, where you have fulfilled as much as you can between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore I warn you of the hadith of Imam Muslim, where the Prophet asks the Sahaba about who is bankrupt. Do you know what is bankruptcy? أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْمُفْلِسِ. Who's the bankrupt one? قَالُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ. مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمَ وَلَا دِنَارُ. Is it the one who has no money, O Messenger of Allah? He says, no. They said, Allah and His Messenger, no best, we don't know. Tell us, O Messenger of Allah. He said, the bankrupt one, مَنْ أَتَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, is the one who will come on the Day of Judgment. بِصَلَاةِ وَصِيَامِ وَزَكَاةِ وَحَجِ. They will come believing in God, have done all their prayers, have fasted all their fast, have given all the charity, have fulfilled their Hajj. They've done everything right. Why are they bankrupt? وَلَكِنْ, that person, قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا, has insulted this man. وَأَخَذَ مِنْ هَذَا, and usurped and took unjustly from this person. وَضَرَبَ هَذَا, and has assaulted this person, harmed this person with their hand, with their tongue. فَيَأْخُذُ هَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِ. Everyone in their life that they accosted and harmed shall take their good deeds. حتى أفلسوه, until they bankrupt him, until he's nothing before Allah in his account. But there's still people waiting to take from him. فَيَضَعُ عَلَيْهِ أَوْزَارَهُمْ. They will say, you have nothing more to give? We'll take some of my sins then. Pay me in kind, that I'm going to give you what I wronged of others, you take it. It is for this reason that the Prophet ﷺ said, on the Day of Judgment, the heaviest thing in your scale is your good akhlaq. It's not your salah. أَثْقَلُ الْمِيزَانِ, the thing that will make your scale heavy, حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَا يُدْرِكَ بِحُسْنِ خُلُقِهِ مَرَاتِبَ الصَّائِمِ الْقَائِمِ بِحَسَبِ حُسْنِ خُلُقِهِ. A person will reach the level of someone who prays all night and fasts every day, the highest of level, for no other reason except they have good manners and ethics with people. They don't have a lot of salat. They don't have a lot of siyam. They don't have a lot of the deeds that you and I count. But they have the good manners that will protect the little they've done. There are people who do a lot, but they don't protect it. And Imam al-Nawawi was asked about this hadith. And he was asked, what should a person do who has taken something from someone unjustly and that person is no longer available for them to return? Just say, you took something belongs to me. May Allah give me a long life. But I pass away before Allah opens your heart that you return it to me. All of a sudden, I'm no longer here. What do you do? Imam al-Nawawi, Imam al-Ghazali, they said, فَلَا حِيلَةَ لَهُ. You have nothing that you can do, إِلَّا يُضَاعِفُ الْحَسَنَاتِ. That you do many good deeds. Because on the Day of Judgment, when that man, that woman claim your deed, you want to have something left behind. لا إله إلا الله. No way to avert it, except to be ethical. Jannah is not just simply salah and iman and siyam and hajj. Jannah requires a thought where you put others before yourself. Therefore you hear the Prophet ﷺ saying, and I end with this hadith inshaAllah to give a few minutes for your questions before the adhan of Isha. The Prophet ﷺ says, you will not enter Jannah hatta tahab. You will not enter paradise until you love one another. And they said, oh Messenger of Allah, how can we love one another? He said, أكثروا وأفشوا السلام. Greet each other more. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. See, you know when we greet each other today, it's almost like we say, hi, how are you? But that's not salam. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, one day the Prophet wanted to see him. So he came to his home, knocked on the door, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, استأذن أهله. He knocks on the door to ask permission to come in or to see Abu Ayyub. He hears them inside. Inside the house, the sound of children and everyone's home. And he says, As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-dar. The Prophet says, As-salamu alaykum, O people of this household. فَلَمْ يُجِيبُ عَلَيْهِ. They didn't answer. وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّلَامُ. No, they're there. He can hear them right behind the door. Allahu Akbar. So he waits. Then he knocks again. As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-dar. They don't answer. What's happening? Third time. As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-dar. No answer. And the sunnah is when you ask permission once, twice, three times, leave. Third time, go. And I want this to be something that you understand. Because some people, they misunderstand this. If you send me a WhatsApp, and you see two blue ticks, I read it. And I didn't answer you straight away. Don't say, astaghfirullah al-azim, this brother doesn't get it. You know how we get a little bit, wa'afu amman dhalaba, forgive the one who wronged you, right? Nah. Sometimes we get, if you come to my door and you knock on my door, maybe tabligh jama'ah, anyone. You knock on my door and I'm inside. You hear my wife and my kids and me inside. And I don't answer you. Don't feel insulted. I might even look. I haven't, but I might even look, see you, and not answer. Once, twice, third, leave. This is the sunnah. Because it's my home. Right? It's my home. You don't, you can't say, brother, I know you were home, but you didn't answer. I know I'm home. And maybe I'm busy with my family. I'm having a meal with my family. I'm talking about something sensitive. My home is not ready to receive a guest. Yeah. This is the sunnah. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. You don't have takalluf. You don't ever feel insulted. Somebody didn't yurahid bik. Maybe another time they will give you double. They'll make two chickens. Not one. Right? So the third time, the Prophet turns to leave. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they saw the Prophet leaving, they opened the door and they say, "Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh ya Rasulullah." فَقَالَ مَا بِكُمْ. Once, twice, you know. "Ya wa alaykum as-salam." How come the third time? Why did you wait so long? They said, "Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Habibna, we loved so much. أَنَّكَ تُسَلِّمُ عَلَى دَارِنَا وَأَهْلِنَا. We love to hear you sending salam upon us, our family and our home. We would leave you there all day, O Messenger of Allah. 24 hours, we'll put a chair for you, just assalamu alaikum ya ahl al-dar. Because what did they understand about salam? Salam is dua. Is that I meet you with a greeting. That I say, assalamu alaikum. I greet you with something where I'm asking Allah's peace to descend upon you, upon your family. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. It's a powerful, powerful thing. So the Prophet says, you will not enter Jannah until you love each other. And you will not love each other until you can give salam regularly to each other. Afshu salam baynakum. Give salam to each other. Love for others is the easiest way to earn Allah's love. I remember my teacher, may Allah have mercy upon him, Shaykh Muhammad Safwat Nuruddin. When we were studying Sahih al-Bukhari, we were studying the hadith called al-Mahabbah, the hadith of love. And he says, Yahya, what do you understand from this hadith? I said, Yani, that Allah loves His creation, He loves us, and He wants us to love Him. And he says, no, tell me, do you know how to earn Allah's love? I said, Ya Shaykh, allimni, teach me. He said, there's two ways. The hard way and the easy way. I said, teach me the easy way. Let's begin with the easy way. I'm a Western Muslim. I'm very easy. Maybe the easy way. He goes, don't you want to know the hard way first? I said, okay. The hard way is every place in the Quran, every place in the Hadith, more than 36 times, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبْ. Allah loves this. يُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ يُحِبُّ loves, do all of them. And every place Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبْ. Allah does not love the one who does it, stay away from it. Long list. I said, what's the easy way? He said, the easy way is this hadith that we're going to study now. What is it, Isha? Then he reports to you, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي. The love that I have, the love of Allah, is wajib, is definitely fit, is going to descend upon al-mutahabbina bijalali, those who love each other because of me, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have love for other people, it is the highest level of ubudiyyah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after being Abdullah wa Abdul Rahman, after being the slave of Allah, what's his greatest title? Musa is Kalimullah. Isa is Ruhullah, Kalimatullah. Ibrahim is Khalilullah. What is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa Mahabba is the highest love. Nothing is greater than that. That you have love for your fellow man, you have love for your brother. Lan tu'minu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you will not believe. حَتَّى تُحِبُّ لِأَخِيكَ مَا تُحِبُّهُ لِنَفْسِكَ. Until you can love for your brothers what you love for yourself. You know what Imam al-Nawawi says? He says, this hadith is not about the Muslim loving a Muslim. This hadith is about a Muslim who loves for a non-Muslim what he loves for himself. Allahu Akbar. What do you love most? If you love faith for yourself, you want other people to have this iman in their heart. You want people to live a good life. You want someone to come off drugs. You want someone to come off things that you see as not being the right thing for them to live. When you see them, you don't say, oh, these people, they're different to us. La! You have a love for them to come to truth, although you might have a hate for the sin that they're in. And I leave with this statement of one of the great imams, the great scholars, and I want to it to be a way that you make dua for others, for yourself and others. Al-Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, he was a scholar of all the disciplines. He was a muhaddith, he was a mufassir, he was an orator, he was a writer, he was everything, he mastered it, imam. And he used to have a special class with his students near the Euphrates River in Al-Iraq. And as they're sitting on the Euphrates, he's teaching them the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. On the other side of the river are young people engaged in sin. They're doing their merriment and illicit actions. And his students can't concentrate. They're like, oh, these disgusting people. Astaghfirullah, what are they doing? What's wrong with them? A'udhu billah. Ya Shaykh, ad'u Allah. Shaykh, make dua against these people. So the Shaykh makes dua. Listen to his dua. Allahumma kama as'adtahum fi dunya, fazidhum, kama afrahtahum fi dunya, zidhum farahan fi al-akhirah. Oh Allah, as you gave them joy in the dunya, meaning in the wrong they're doing, they're happy. As you gave them this pleasure in the dunya, give them greater pleasure in the akhirah. Meaning make them worthy of Jannah. Meaning give them a change in their life from what they're doing to become fit for being with us in Jannah. We might think we're good now, but the one who's studying with him may change. The days between you and I are many between us and Allah. There are many people who used to visit this masjid who are not here. There are many people who you used to count as people of righteousness and uprightness who fall from the truth. And there's many people who you think who are distant from Allah who will exceed you and exceed many others. Oh Allah, as you gave them joy, even in this moment of sin, make their greatest joy in the day they meet you when they find your mercy and forgiveness, having changed this evil habit that they're upon. Allahu Akbar. Love. An open heart. One that calls people to a capacity of truth and lets them come to Allah, not that they are fearful of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts, open the hearts of those who we worry about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us and our families to maintain and be constant in salah, and that of our children and children's children. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءِ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the blessing of the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the company of the Prophets of Allah in paradise, that we get to see Isa and Musa and Dawood and Sulaiman, that we are in the hilaq and the gatherings as we have gathered today seeking Allah's pleasure, that we gather with the Prophets who were seeking Allah's pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this masjid and its people a people of Jannah, Allahumma ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to gather together in His mercy, seeking His pleasure and His worship. And if Allah doesn't return us together in this worldly life, that He returns us in Jannatul Firdaus with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah al-azim li wa lakum fastaghfiruh innahu huwa al-ghafur rahim. I believe it's now the time for the adhan for Salatul Isha. Inshallah, what we will do, we will make the adhan for Isha. And while those go to make their wudu, I will deal with some of the questions for the 10 minutes. Those who want to make sunnah for, there isn't, a walida anyway that is necessary. But those who wish to do their sunnah, inshallah, they may do so between the adhan and the iqama. And for 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes until 8:15, we'll do Q&A while others make their wudu. But if you have your wudu, please join us.
Allahu Akbar. 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 Allahu Akbar.
For the sisters, if you want, you can send them up on a piece of paper. I know the barriers or the curtain has been drawn, inshallah. But if there are any questions from the brothers, you're more than welcome to ask it. Or if you want to write it as well, you're more than welcome to, inshallah. The first question is always the hardest, just to push someone forward, inshallah. Is there anyone who would wish to be the first? Tafadhal. Hafidhakallah.
I have this question to ask about being a Muslim.
Yes.
And having part of your family that are not Muslim.
Mm.
And they being Christian.
Yes.
And some being traditional believers.
Yes.
There's this always question that people put to me.
Yes.
That it always hit me.
Yes.
It breaks my heart. Saying that they're doing being Christian and being traditional believers, they won't go to, they won't have Jannah.
Yes.
Which I always give answer to the people that no one here can tell whether all Muslims will go to Jannah,
yes,
or Christians will go to heaven,
yes,
or traditional believers will not go.
Yes.
You don't know, I don't know.
Yes.
But I just keep it that way. But I want to know whether is it true?
Yes. So the brother, just for the sisters maybe who are unable to hear or in the distance, about those who are practicing Muslims and there's others in their family who are not practicing, whether not practicing Muslims or people of traditional faiths or other faith, is it legitimate that people say they will never enter Jannah and we enter Jannah? And the answer is, as I began as a principle, that no one has that judgment other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, within our day-to-day life, the laws that we enact as Muslims is based on belief and what is apparent. So if someone says, I'm a Muslim, then they are a Muslim. And if someone says, no, I have nothing to do with Islam, then the laws are dealt with that. So it could be in terms of heredity, it could be in terms of those kind of things where there are technical things within our religious tradition and practice. So if someone says, no, I have nothing, then their meat isn't halal, for example, that, you know, if they were to slaughter and so on. So those things, we will deal with them with the laws as they deal with someone who's not a Muslim. But it does not mean that what is between them and Allah and what they know of Allah that we don't know, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge. So we judge people on that which is apparent. And they would come and say this to the Prophet ﷺ. They would say to the Messenger of Allah, Allah, O Messenger of Allah ﷺ, has given you the names of those who are unbelievers but pretend to be believers. We refer to them as the munafiq, meaning the munafiq of the high caliber, the major nifaq, which is akbar, the major nifaq. You know that they are not believers, but they pretend to be believers because they have an agenda to undermine you. Oh, Messenger of Allah, if you already know who they are, let's just fight them. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَمْ أُؤْمَرْ أَنْ أَشُقَّ بُطُونَ النَّاسِ وَأَنْظُرَ فِي صُدُورٍ فِي قُلُوبٍ. Allah didn't ask me to open a person's heart and look inside. If they say I'm a Muslim, it's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. One of the heads of the munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, Allah has sent verses in the Quran against him. And when he died, his son asked the Prophet ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, can you lead the janazah? And the Prophet ﷺ led the janazah. Even though Allah has said to him, this man, the Prophet ﷺ led it. And Allah then brought down Quran. Don't lead the janazah of these people again. Even if you were to lead it 70 times, it won't be accepted. In one riwayah it says, the Prophet said, if I lead it 71 times and I know it will be accepted, I would do 71. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning if Allah said 70 and that's it, won't be accepted. But 71 will be, I would pray 71 times. But 70 meant it will never be accepted. It's nakira. So for this man, I will not accept it, O Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what did the Prophet do? He prayed for him. He attempted to pray for him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as I say to you, akhi, your answer is correct. In the apparent life, we deal with people in the way that they are, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens their heart, leads them to righteousness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them an ending that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have experienced this myself, and I have many friends who have experienced this, where there are people who their life was not a life that modeled Islam. And it wasn't a life that you would assume that they are, you know, significant. But I can say to you that many of them, they seal it with a belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is between them and Allah, that maybe you and I are unaware of it. And perhaps it is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that they have a place with Allah. What is in the heart at a moment between their separation? Sometimes people are afraid to come to Islam in their life, how people will judge them. The Prophet's uncle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet looks at him in his final moments and says, Amma, my, just say the word, say I believe. Something I can ask Allah on your behalf with. He says, I don't want my people to think bad of me, that I left their faith. So the Prophet couldn't, even his uncle, couldn't change him in that sense. So we know that these are things that are painful for family members, and they do occur. But at the same time, there are those who find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without having prayed a rak'ah. And I give you this hadith to end. One of the sahaba, his name is Amr radiallahu anhu arda, Amr ibn Thabit. This is his name, radiallahu anhu. In the battle of Uhud, he comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, O Messenger of Allah, it's the battle, should I fight? What do I do? The Prophet says, do you believe in God? He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha. Of course I believe in Allah, and I believe in you, O Messenger of Allah, that's why I've come. And as he says it, an arrow from an unknown source kills him. The Prophet ﷺ says, Arahu fil jannah wa lam yusalli rak'ah. I see him in paradise and he never prostrated once. In his heart, he had belief. وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. What is between a person and Allah is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the public life, we deal with them as they assert, as they say about themselves, right? As they claim for themselves. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Now, was there another question?
Sheikh.
Yeah, yes, Fadal. Doctor,
just to follow up to the brother's question, as the start of your talk, he said, La ilaha illallah.
Muhammad
Rasulullah is the key to enter Jannah, and that's our belief, that's the core of our belief. Number two, we have a beauty of balagh, delivering the message.
Absolutely, yes.
So, how, in the context of a friend or a family member who is declared Christian or agnostic or non believer, ask you, what do you believe? Do you fulfill the duty of balagh and not insult them at the same time?
No.
Be rude or inappropriate?
No. How do we convey the message of La ilaha illallah to people that are family and other people who we want to inspire them to faith and bring them? One of the things that we notice about the life of the Prophet ﷺ is before he was given the message of Islam, he was known amongst his people as a Sadiq al-Amin. He was impeccable in his character, his attitude. He wasn't a person that people had a claim against him. So he lived a clean life that was inspirational to others. And that's why people were willing to endure many of the difficulties, you know, the early Sahaba endured, because they saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being someone who was of an impeccable standard of character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You were above the standards of character of anyone. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of them is to walk what we walk the talk. Many of us were very good at making demands and asking of things and giving ultimatums, and you must do this, and this is what it has to be done, and why don't you believe, and why are you... But in fact, the reality is it's something that people need to see as being a part of our life. That is something in that sense. Number two is that we actually learn about our faith enough that we can inspire others with information that maybe they have not yet gathered. And some people don't want to hear what you have to say, but they'd rather read. So, you know, my wife, she doesn't like to hear me talk. She would rather read it for herself, mashallah. She'll say, yeah, what can I read about this? Okay, here, right? She can read for herself. My mom, she likes to hear. She'll say, oh, yeah, tell me something about this. Everybody has a different entrance to their heart. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the best of people, مفاتيح للخير. They are keys to people's hearts that unlock their hearts to good. اللهم اجعلنا مفاتيح للخير. May Allah make us a key to someone's heart. Ameen. Number three is love. That people feel that you actually are genuine in your care and your concern for them. It's not just I want you to be a Muslim just to, you know, count you as a Muslim tick. No, it's because I feel that this is something that is valuable. It's something I value. It's given me happiness in my life. And I want it to be something that is inspirational to you. And it's out of love for you. It's out of my concern and my care and my diligence that I wish to share this with you. Number four is to begin with priorities. SubhanAllah, many times, you know, we begin with, you're talking to someone about salah and they have doubt about Allah. Sometimes it's just, who is God and what is the nature of life? I'll give you a very short example. There's a professor who used to teach me at the University of Toronto. His name is Professor Chileg. And he is the imam of atheists. He is like the atheist people who believe in no God. He is their mufti. Right? He is imam. And he used to like me. Because he knows I was an imam in my community and I would lead the people in prayer at the university. And, you know, I remember one time we were having lunch together. And he goes, Yahya, you don't know what you're missing. And he took a bite of his bacon, lettuce, tomato, cheese sandwich. Oh, this is the taste. You have no idea. I said, it's okay. I know I'm going to paradise. Right? So he goes, come on, stop with the fairy tales, right? I said, listen. He goes, you know, there's nothing like that. I said, no, I believe there is something like that. He goes, prove it to me. I said, prove there's nothing. He used to teach statistics and math. I said, listen, you're a math guy. Let's talk about it from a math perspective. Who has more to lose, me or you? If I die... And as you say, I become fertilizer. This is what he used to say. He said, when I die, I'm happy to be fertilizer. I'm going to make a tree. Allahu Akbar. That's all his hope in life. When I die, I'm fertilizer. That's me. I said, if I die, and it's what you believe is true, and I become fertilizer, did I lose anything except maybe a bacon sandwich? He goes, no. But if you die and what I believe is right, will you have lost something? And he took a bite of the sandwich. He goes, but this is a really good sandwich. Who's got to lose? Will I lose anything if there's nothing? Have I lost anything? No. But if there's something, have you lost? Oh, you've lost. You've lost. Sometimes it's not about faith. It's not about qala Rasulullah. Sometimes just talking with people, sitting with people. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open his heart. Ameen. I still, you know, every so often I'll get an email from him. Like, I got something from him maybe about 6 months ago. He emailed me and goes, are you still brainwashing people about your Islam? I said, yes. Are you still fertilizer? Alhamdulillah. May Allah open his heart. Yes.
How we can merge this one
Yes. No. Our dear brother, our uncle, he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ narrated by Imam Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who has mastered the Quran, ma'as-safarat al-kiram, they're the elite of those who recite the Quran and practice it. When they enter Jannah, Allah will say to them, read, and for every ayah, rise a level. So our brother, he's saying, how do we merge this hadith about reading the Quran, reciting the Quran with fluency, and doing good deeds with people who haven't mastered the Quran, haven't? Does that mean they will never get to the highest levels in Jannah? And this hadith, it's a wonderful hadith. And Imam al-Nawawi, when he discusses it, he says something very simple. He says, this is for at-tafadul. So this is for those who are in a level that in between every level in Jannah, there are other levels in Jannah. So a person will reach a level that is determined to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that level, they will rise other levels. So there are seven levels and eight gates for Jannah. Each one of them, ما بين السماء والأرض, وسعت السماوات والأرض, each of them has multiple levels in it. Each one of those levels can have those levels of the verses of the Quran in it. So you might find somebody, ummi, who doesn't know how to read and has not memorized anything from the Quran, but are in the highest levels of Jannah. An example, Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu arda. Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, he was a mujahid. He was not a alim, not a scholar. His life was not recitation of the Quran and learning as Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud and others. وَكَانَ يَتَلَعْثَمُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ When he would seek to recite from the Quran, he would make mistakes in his memorization. He wasn't fluent in it. رَضِيَ anhu عَنْهُ But nevertheless, we believe Khalid radiallahu anhu مَعَ السَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ He's from the elevated status Sayfullah al-Maslum radiallahu anhu arda. So we have an example from the Sahaba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the things that I also mentioned for the benefit of everyone, we will end with this inshaAllah, is that in the time after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhum, in the time of the great a'imma, from amongst all of the tens of thousands of Sahaba, we know that nearly 100,000 made Hajj with the Prophet ﷺ. From all that number of people, there were only, according to some of the Imams, 14 Sahaba who were given permission for fatwa. I want you to think about this. So if you had a question about the Quran, and you would come to one of the Sahaba and say, why are you asking me? No. اذهب للعبادنا. Go ask one of the Abdullahs. There were five Abdullahs in Medina. Go to one of them. Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Abbas, right? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This is right after in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu arda. Ask one of the five Abdullahs. Don't ask me. These are the ones who you ask. When the Prophet ﷺ, he's speaking to the ummah of his time, he says, خذ القرآن من أربع. If you're going to learn the Quran from other than me, it's only four people. Arba. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Right? He mentions it. Zayd ibn Thabit. Ubay ibn Ka'b. Right? He mentions them one by one. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why does he mention them? Because it is something that is sacred. It wasn't left open for everyone. So if this is the example, not all of the Sahaba memorized the Quran from the Prophet ﷺ. But all of the Sahaba will be, inshaAllah, in the highest levels of Jannah. Right? Allahumma ajma'na bihim, Allahumma ameen. Wa salli lahumma wa sallim wa zid wa barik ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammad. I conclude by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless those who have given me this humble platform to speak with you for this hour or so. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a blessing for others to come and join you and share khayr with you and make us from mu'allimin khayr. Allahumma ameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa aqim as-salah.
alaykum.